There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more.
So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
To Infinity War and beyond.
Welcome to the podcast. We are back with Chapter 11 as we are continuing on our journey through the MCU. And we are at Avengers Age of Ultron, which tells the story of Tony Stark and Bruce Banner as they decide to build what they see as a shield to protect the world in an artificial intelligence robot named Ultron. And guess what? Things go bad. Well, they do with Ultron. We'll decide whether you think the movie does.
With an enemy that sounds like he's trying to figure out his sexuality.
Here we are with our new team. This week on the show, we welcome back returnees Jacob and Daniel, and newbies Josh and Mackenzie. Welcome, guys. You're a noob. You're a noob. That's okay.
You noobs.
You guys are the new Avengers.
The new Avengers.
We're the original.
We have our Scarlet Witch and Fast Guy, whatever.
No, I don't want to be
Quick
Man.
You can be
Quick Man.
I ain't a witch, thank you, but yes, I do look awesome.
But Scarlet Witch is nice. Quick Man is
Quick Man.
I won't even dignify him with his proper name.
Is it Fast Quick Youth?
It's not Fast Youth. Quicksilver.
I said Ute.
Fast Ute. This is going to be a fun week.
Fast Youth.
Guys and ladies.
Got a blast.
What did you think of Avengers Infinity War? Oh, wait. I just want to skip to the end. What did you think of Avengers Age of Ultron?
I think it was good, but it wasn't as good as the original.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. She said it wasn't as good as the first one. Why not?
Okay.
Why didn't you like it as much as the first Avengers?
I don't know. I just felt like the enemy had a more less complex plan.
You mean in the first one?
Yeah, in Avengers. In Age of Ultron, this guy hates the Avengers for reasons. And then he decides to destroy the world thinking that he's saving the world. And he has some link with Tony Stank. And
I do like that Tony Stank joke. That's
was great.
Yeah, and then just going back and forth from what's going on.
Oh, is that Civil War? Is Tony Stank?
It was in this one, but it didn't show up in the end credits for some reason.
No, Tony Stank is in this one. It's Civil War. I got ahead of myself.
FedEx Man or whatever.
That's right.
Is this for Tony Stank?
Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm two movies ahead. Just delete everything. No, I'm kidding. You're right. That's from Civil War. It's the end of Civil War. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but overall, it was. I was going back and forth from this is really cool to what's going on. What's the plot?
Totally fair.
Make up your mind.
This one actually happened to be one of my favorites of the event.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Josh. Wow. Why?
I thought that this one had a very good balance between extreme action scenes, like the fight scene at the beginning and the fight scene at the end, with just slipping in little comedic breaks in there, like the scene when they're on the flying city and Quicksilver runs away and
favorite comedic scene when he gets shot.
No, not when he gets shot. But when Hawkeye's like, I can shoot him right now and nobody would know just because he's been bothering him the entire movie. Like, that's just this little break that provides some sort of so that it's not just fast-paced for half the movie.
Right, right. I will say I think some of my favorite moments in this movie are the ones that have nothing to do with fighting.
Yeah. Like the ones with what one of my favorites I think is when Thor is telling Hulk about how the screams of his victims are echoing in the halls of wherever, and then he has to like change it to like, oh wait, no, it's just like a bunch of like broken bones and stuff. They're not like dead because the Hulk.
Oh right. Because there are kids in the room or something. Is that what that was?
No, because the Hulk was complaining about, like, not being around civilians, right? And then...
Right.
Yeah.
Which
I thought was pretty weird because considering his TV show back in the
70s. It's a very different Hulk here.
He had no problem going with civilians even though he had this problem. But then again, it was uncontrollable back then and now he can, like, control it a whole lot better. Which I thought was really good for this movie because in the other movies he had no control over it of him changing, but like ever since he joined the Avengers he was able to change it.
I want to come back to that because I think that's an interesting idea.
Adding on to the Hulk being able to change, I feel like in like the Hulk movies where Hulk is the main character, he can't control it, but then I feel like he can control it because he has Black Widow. Because Black
in this Hood, movie.
And even in the Avengers,
too. In the first Avengers?
Like, near, like, the end, he doesn't really make any improvements. But, like, I still feel like having her still kind of meant something.
Mm.
Like leading up, like this one. Because now I feel like when Black Widow, like, talks to him, like, calms the Hulk down. And I feel like it really made a difference on who the Hulk's character was in the end, because now he can control who he is and, like, what he's basically stuck with. Because, like, what he has is being the Hulk is, like, a gift, but it's also a curse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's his whole thing, right? Is it a gift or is it a curse? I think that's an interesting...
The devil in disguise.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Daniel, what do you think?
So I like this movie. I do like when they have a lot of action. I think, like, you know, that kind of makes the whole, like, superhero movie is when they're able to really be superheroes. And I think that this movie really does that, like, really well. And I do also just like how they had, like, you know, the kind of calm points, like, when they're at Clint Barton's, like, farmhouse. Like, you know, that was just, like, a calm part where, like, you know, they're kind of doing whatever, kind of getting, like, rest and, you know, chilling. Washing and everything. And yet they're still able to make it, like, you know, not boring. Like, they added the part when Tony and Steve are, like, chopping wood. And, you know, that would seem like it would be something boring to watch, but they're able to kind of make it funny. Like, at the end, you know, Tony has, like, a pile of wood that's a lot less than what Steve has. And when he's walking away to go fix the tractor, he's like, don't take from my pile.
Yeah.
So they're still able to add, like, you know, parts that are funny and just parts that are more relaxed, yet not make it boring. It's good. I don't think it's, like, the best movie because it, you know,
doesn't
Ultron,
make any sense.
Yeah, there was just a lot of parts that was like, what? Like, Ultron... Who? It was like a day of Ultron, and it's not an age.
Yeah, I think that this particular one, I like it more than I feel like I should like it. And I say that because I feel like the script is really imbalanced and goes off in some weird places, like dream sequences and Thor's in a magic puddle and stuff like that. And it's like, okay. But... It is fun. There is some fun to it. But the MVP for me in this movie, the whole thing that really keeps me interested, I should say, is the Black Widow Hulk storyline.
Yeah.
Which is the most interesting part of the movie to me the whole way. That scene where they're at the farmhouse, it's just my favorite scene in the whole movie. Like, I've watched that a few times, and I just think it's really well done. They do a great job. Black Widow and the Hulk. But I don't think there's any hint of them in the first Avengers. I'd go back to because they sort of address that in this one. Because doesn't Cap say, like, hey, don't worry about it? Because they sort of hint that it's going to be Black Widow and Cap in Winter Soldier, and then it's sort of like, hey, I've seen her flirt.
Yeah,
it's
up
not
close.
Yeah, up close.
With your mitt up close.
Yeah. That is exactly how the Hulk speaks.
What do you mean up close?
But their relationship, I think, is the most interesting part of the whole movie. I do like listening to Ultron, but I don't really care about what he's trying to do. Like, I like his speeches, because I like James Spader, and I like...
The most interesting scene that had Ultron in it was when that first scene when he came out in that broken down thing and gave that speech about about waking up and how he feels that the world needs to evolve. That was, I think, the most interesting scene I saw with Ultron. All the other times he was just
rambling
on and killing people for whatever reason he was.
I mean, if you're a viewer watching the movie, you wouldn't believe anything he's trying to tell you because, like, he's basically destroying the world. He's not saving any part of the world. But if you were a partner of his, you would actually believe what he's saying because his voice is like, I don't know, it's calming, like you.
So what you're saying is that you'd like him to read bedtime stories. I've got no strings to hold me now.
No,
red fish,
blue fish.
I know some good games we can play, said the cat. I know some good games, said the cat. In the hat.
Ew.
I am the Lorax.
No, but he sounds like the type of person that will be good at...
public speaking?
Public speaking, because like his voice is so moving.
So what we've established, he's a horrible villain, but man, he'd be a great politician. I wish he hadn't tried to destroy the Earth.
He'd be the robot version of Donald Trump. He makes absolutely no sense.
If you think about it, it's almost a metaphor of what Donald Trump is doing now. Like, Donald Trump is not making literally DC float in the air, but... Okay.
Well,
no, just hear me through. Just hear me through.
Please go on. This is why I love podcasting. Go
DC,
ahead. Washington, D.C.
The D.C. universe. Washington used to be this great city that everyone respected. It was almost like it was floating on air. When Obama was there, mostly everyone was loving what he was doing with the country. It was like it was floating on air. But ever since Trump has been in there, it's almost like it's been crashing down to earth. So he's literally like a metaphor of what's going on in America right now.
Well, where's our Avengers?
He's a okay.
Where does our Avengers come in, huh?
Let us be the Avengers.
The irony of you saying that this movie was made 4 years ago.
Three.
It's a prophetic film. There it is. So what did you make of Ultron as a villain? We've talked before about whether or not the villains are good in these. There's a long-standing joke about how, or is it a joke, that Marvel's had problems with coming up with interesting villains. Was he interesting, and did you understand even what he was trying to do?
He was okay.
At the beginning?
Jake, go ahead.
I felt like he was okay. I mean, I feel like he was, like, all over the place. Like, I feel like they could have thought him out better. But, like, he's definitely better than Thor 2's villain.
Oh, jeez.
He's definitely better than, like, Guardian of the Galaxy's first villain.
They're basically the same villain.
Yeah.
Ronan the Accuser and Malekith the blah blah.
But yeah, so that's a wrong topic. So, like, I feel like he's okay because, like, he's almost like, he's like, is deceiving the right word? Like,
deceiving is a word. What do you mean?
Like he's thinking he's doing the right thing, but like he's really like not.
Oh, okay. So he's
like,
deceiving himself.
Yeah. He's like deceiving himself because like he feels he's doing the right thing, and he feels like the Avengers are the bad guys.
Mm.
But then the Avengers, as humans, they see that the Earth that they're running is like slowly like slipping out of their hands, and they feel like they need to do something about it. So I feel like the Avengers think he's bad, but then like he thinks he's doing what's right.
Hmm.
So it kind of makes sense in a way what he's trying to do, but then it really like doesn't because he is doing the wrong thing. Like he's trying to do the right thing just in a wrong way.
Okay.
So
not like, trying to, like, defend Ultron, like, because, like, no.
Wait,
no.
You just called him Trump.
Okay,
no, see, I've called him Trump. He is just elaborating on it.
Okay.
But anyway.
Not trying to defend him, like, as a character, because I don't think he was one of the better Marvel villains. Right? But
yeah.
I think the fact that everyone keeps coming back to the fact that he's, like, all over the place and it's really hard to follow him, I think that's one of the vital points of his character.
Mm.
Is the fact that he's this, like, computer program that sort of just woke up one day and knew everything. Right? He literally is all over the place. So the fact that he just keeps, like, when he wakes up and he's talking to Jarvis?
Jarvis. When he wakes up, he's talking to Jarvis.
He's talking to Jarvis, and you see through his mind all of the information that's just coming at him and coming at him and coming at him. He's saying, I'm confused, like, I don't know what's happening. As he goes on, that sort of sticks with him, and that becomes one of the main points of his character. That
she's kerfuffled.
Yeah, basically.
To me, like, Ultron's, like, in the middle. Like, he's definitely not as bad as some other villains. But, I mean, in my books, I think the best villain that we've seen has been, like, Loki.
Okay.
Personally, because, like, you know, it's not like he was just in that one movie and then he's gone. Like, they kept him for a reason.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
But he is, like, again, like what we said, like, his voice is very compelling. And those monologues, while, yes, they might go on, like, we're always, like, we're listening. Because it's like, what is he going to say next?
Yeah.
So I feel like his actions aren't, like, the best. Because, you know, as we've said, like, he's trying to better the world by destroying it, which... It's not correct. Like, that's false.
What about that's not correct? Why do you... obviously, I agree with you, but I'm interested to know why we think that. Because the one motivation he says is the reason he wants to do it is he wants to sort of start over because mankind is corrupt.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, the one thing I got out of it. And the only reason he hates the Avengers is because... No, reasons is about the only way to describe it, because it's sort of like, oh, Tony Stark, he's bad too, and then it's all of a sudden they're all bad, and it's the,
yeah,
it goes,
like,
from there.
I felt like it was more focused on Tony Stark than all the other Avengers, and then towards the end of the movie he was focused on all of them, because, like, I don't know, he was, like, really confused. Like, in his mind, he was, like, confused about, like, who is the real bad guy, quote-unquote.
Here's a question. What do you think about his relationship with Jarvis in this movie? What do you think about Jarvis in this film? Jarvis, we feel like we know Jarvis fairly well by this point, because we've seen him in... four or five movies. I think he's in the Avengers. Jarvis is Tony's computer at the beginning of the movie and ends up becoming Vision. What?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm confused of. I don't really understand what Vision does, what his power is.
Oh.
He has this golden thing in the middle of his forehead, and he can fly, and he's kind of like Thor in a way, but yeah. Because that's basically how he came to life, because... Thor uses electricity power that just magically
delicious.
Came. magically came to be, and then shocked him to life like Frankenstein, and then he just gives Thor his hammer, which is another thing that I found really funny in the movie, because the Avengers all gather around and they try to pick up Thor's hammer, and then Jarvis comes and he's like, here you go. That was really funny. And Thor's just like, what? How? Okay.
Yeah, I like that part, actually. It's great.
Going back to what you said, like, you were confused about what Vision, like, was, or what...
Like, what Vision's supposed to do.
Yeah, in the original comics, he was seen almost like, everyone knows that Thor is, like, a god-like person, right? That Vision is supposed to almost be seen in the same way. He's supposed to be this, like, god-like figure of power. He's just like that thing in his head, the Mind Stone, the Infinity Stone, is one of the most powerful things in the Marvel Universe. No, I was like the place that like Thor and like stuff. You know what I'm trying? Yeah. Mm. But it gives him almost like god-like powers.
So, what do you think about that whole relationship with Vision and Ultron? How do you balance those two out?
I think they're kind of pretty much like polar opposites. Because, you know, Jarvis obviously, like, works for Tony, quote-unquote, for.
Yeah.
So he's, like, gotten to know Tony more as, like, a person. And even, like, working with the Avengers, like, he's gotten to know them more personally, where Ultron has only seen what, like, the internet knows and what the internet, like, has to offer.
Mm.
So, you know, it's like the whole, like, don't judge a book by its cover. Like, you know, Ultron's only seeing everybody's cover, and he's basing it off of what he's seen.
Mm.
But Jarvis has actually, like, you know, read through their books and, like, kind of been able to, you know, look at them as more of people than just Avengers.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, I think that's why, you know, as soon as Vision becomes, like, real, becomes, like, animated, he doesn't, like, I mean, right away he, like, jumps at Thor, but I mean, as soon as he realizes what he is, he's just kind of, like, joins the team. Like, he knows that the Avengers aren't going to go and kill everybody just, for, like, because.
Yeah, he said he was on the side of life.
Yeah.
And that, at this moment, meant he was not on the side of Ultron.
Yeah, he was on, yeah.
There's a great quote as the Avengers are destroying. As Avengers are discussing Ultron's motivation, and they say, Ultron can't tell the difference between saving the world and destroying it. Where do you think he gets that? Tony Stank. Why do you think that that's important? What do we learn about the Avengers in this particular movie? We've talked a lot about evil in the last few weeks for you guys that were on. I almost dubbed this as almost their evil phase, because every movie, or their dark phase, if you will, because they talk about that a lot in the last three films. So, but a movie like this, what do we learn about the Avengers in this particular film?
That they're not the perfect team they were portrayed to be.
Hmm.
Like, it seems like in all the other movies, they just got together, Cap or whoever said, we're gonna do this, and everyone was sort of like, okay, and then they went and they defeated the bad guy, and that was that, and the movie's over.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, we see that not everyone is as united as they may seem. Like, Tony wanted something else entirely than from what Cap wanted, and had to, like, talk Bruce into helping him, right? And none of the other Avengers knew that they were doing this. None of the Avengers knew that that he was doing it again until, once again, it was almost too late.
Mm.
So, yeah.
I think in this one, you kind of really get to see that, like, they're not all, like, perfect.
Okay.
Like, from what pretty much everybody's, besides the people in, like, New York, what everybody's seen is just, like, you know, these people that are coming to fight, like, the bad guys. Obviously, New York has seen a bit more, but, you know, that's what everybody else has seen, because that's what was, like, on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Or however they found out.
Yeah.
But in this one, you really get to see that, like, you know, they're flawed. Like,
okay.
When Scarlet Witch does her, like,
magic fingers, whatever.
Yeah, like, taking the arrow fingers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you get to see into their past. Like, you know, we get to learn more about, I think the one that we learned the most about was Black Widow.
Yes, yes.
Which I love,
Black,
as she's my favorite character, is, like, you know, we learned that, you know, she wasn't just, like, randomly trained to be a spy. Like, you know, she had to go through, like, intensive training, and as we found out that she told Bruce, was, you know, she had to get, like, her uterus removed. Like, she had to get sterile.
Yeah.
Because if she were to have a child, that would be the only other thing more important than finishing a mission.
Mm.
Which I believe she said, like, so I guess it's okay. Like, something like that. Like, you know, she tries to kind of defend what the people that she worked for and that, like, you know, did everything to her. Like, she kind of was, like, defending them because, you know, she, like, she's flawed and she doesn't know exactly that maybe what they were doing wasn't right. She doesn't know everything. So she, like, you know, she's able to understand that and, like, you know, be able to, like, talk about it.
Yeah, one of the things I like about this movie, I think we learn pretty quick, and this is one of the things I think Joss Whedon does really well, is show you the brokenness of your pieces. Like, he brought, like, the first Avengers is them coming together, learn to be a team. But over the last three movies we've seen in the characters so far, and in a movie like this, they've all got damage. Like you said, we haven't heard, even the Hulk, who we know is somebody we talked to, I think, when we did the Hulk episode, we talked about Man or the Monster. But he's afraid. In fact, they're all sort of afraid. Fear is a big thing in this movie, I think. I don't know.
Because when Scarlet Witch does her thing to their mind, they're showing what she was saying to that arms dealer is that everyone is afraid of something. Mm. So what I applied that to, I sort of made an assumption, I guess, but that when she does that, what it shows is something, is like a vision that seems so vivid, but it's of, like, one of their deepest fears.
Mm. Joss Whedon got tons of flack for this movie. Tons and tons of flack. And it was specifically about this Black Widow Hulk storyline. That was one of the biggest criticisms he got.
Yeah, that was one of, like, the main focuses of the movie.
Yeah, but he took a lot of flack because they said they made Black Widow a weak love interest in this movie.
I love Black Widow in this movie.
They even had some interest with the guy with the arrow.
Hulk
has arrows.
Hawkeye, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, in the first Avengers, I thought that they were an item, but they sort of play them off almost as a better brother and sister in this one, I think, than Witch and Quick Dude. Quickly McQuickerson.
Lightning
McQuick.
The guy with the arrows? What's his name? The guy with the arrows?
Hawkeye,
yeah. In the first Avengers, I didn't really care much for Hawkeye, but then in this movie, they show he has a girlfriend, he has kids. And I'm just like, wow, he's become my third or fourth least favorite Avenger. Another thing I love about the movie is when they bring them to the farmhouse and the girlfriend is just okay with five big guys coming in their house and be like, hey, we're going to hang out here for a few days.
To be fair, he called first.
He's
on the phone with her earlier. He is. Who's that? Girlfriend. He's calling his wife.
He didn't tell when he came in.
She didn't know he was there?
No, he said,
oh, man, as a husband, I know that's a mistake. Yeah.
She was like, whomst?
They weren't married. They were having girlfriends.
No, they were married.
They were married.
It was his wife.
Okay.
He calls her his girlfriend because they're like, they make jokes all the way through about, we got to get him a girlfriend or something like that. And then and when he's on the phone, they're like, who's that? Girlfriend. But it's his wife.
At the end of the day, we can all agree that Hawkeye is one of the weakest Avengers.
We know.
I mean, his power is like...
I don't hate him now, but...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Before y'all start hating on Hawkeye. Here's the thing. You get people like the Hulk. He's a big green monster. It takes less skill for him to take on an enemy. You get the only person that has as much skill that is needed to do what they have to do is Black Widow. Because Black Widow and Hawkeye don't have legitimate superhuman powers. Like, Captain America, the only reason why he has his powers is because he got experimented on. Without him, he's a flimsy cardboard.
With an awesome-looking shield.
Hold on, stop talking.
Hawk defense is happening.
So then after that, you also get people like Iron Man. Without the suit, he's nothing.
No, Iron Man,
genius,
billionaire philanthropist.
Iron Man is my favorite Avenger.
Narcissist.
But the thing is like, Iron Man is like smart, but like, say he didn't have all his technologies and that, he doesn't really have power. And then after that, who else is there? Thor, he's a god, so, like, you can't really say it takes much skill to be a god.
What?
What? Okay.
Lame. What a lame god.
Lame. Boring. But then Hawkeye, I am defending Hawkeye. Meanwhile, he is my least favorite Avenger. But then the thing is like, what?
No.
No, but the thing is like, Hawkeye, it takes skill to be able to shoot a bow and arrow the way he can. I'd like to see you do that.
Okay.
So,
give me a bow.
I like the Hulk because he has super strength, and he can certainly take care of himself when he's angry, at least.
Now he can.
Now he can, yes. But let's be honest, Hawkeye is the male version of Katniss Everdeen.
Yeah. Actually, he's the Marvel version of Green Arrow or whatever.
I thought you were going to say
the
later.
Green
yeah,
Arrow.
Yeah,
version of Katniss Everdeen.
It's true.
Nah, Katniss ain't got nothing.
So,
Hawkeye.
All right.
I just think Hawkeye had a bad portrayal this entire movie.
And when it comes to Iron Man,
I liked Hawkeye in this
good
movie.
For his
yeah,
comedy.
I liked Hawkeye better in this movie than the first Avengers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first Avengers, we didn't really learn like a lot
anything about
him.
Him.
He was just here and he was shooting arrows and he was just
yeah.
this guy, right?
But
this one, we do learn a lot more about him. But like, for the major part of like the first half of like the movie. He's just like injured, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean in the first Avengers movie?
No, this
no,
movie.
This,
like the first
part of the movie.
Oh, yeah,
he
yeah,
got,
right,
like,
yeah.
He got like injured, and he was seen like, for the first little bit of the movie, he was portrayed just as this guy who's sort of just tagging along, and you're reminded of almost like his mortality.
Yeah.
That's
like,
true.
No, but I feel like that is something that like his mortality, I feel like that's something you can that he can embrace. Or like people can embrace. Because like you have like obviously you can't really compare a Marvel movie to real life really. But like the thing is like he's still doing all that even though he is a legitimate human. Like he has no like special effect on him. Like, that affects his, like...
Yeah.
Except he has
like,
an unlimited...
No, stop talking!
easy.
Unless he has an unlimited amount of arrows.
He doesn't.
Really?
I mean,
because...
No,
it's true.
No,
it
no.
seems like he does.
Yeah, it is.
Because
yeah,
every
but then,
time...
But then after that, you see him, he, like, pulls an arrow out or whatever.
Okay. Anyway. You know what? I want to...
Wait.
Oh, go ahead.
And even when we do see... like his girlfriend and his kids, it doesn't last that long, and we forget about it.
They don't matter.
Like we forget about it.
He goes
so,
home.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, like majority of the movie, it wasn't really. It doesn't make Hawkeye very, very much interesting.
That's fair.
You could cut out the scene and it wouldn't make much of a difference.
Okay.
Really?
That's true.
I don't know about that.
I loved it.
Okay.
I like
the
go
movie
ahead. Daniel wants to speak.
Just to add to the whole like Hawkeye thing. I think what I really loved. No, like this is a good thing. What I really liked about this movie was like we got to learn a bit more about Hawkeye, but you know. What we've learned kind of so far in this movie is that, you know, kind of Hulk and Black Widow have, like, you know, something that might happen.
Yeah.
But we also just kind of find out how close Hawkeye and Black Widow are also. Because,
yeah.
Obviously, like, you know,
Aunt
they
Nat.
Go home and then the kids are like, Aunt Nat, whoa! And then she's like, whoa, kids. Like, you know, she's obviously been there. She knows about his family that he has to, like, keep secret.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you kind of learn that their relationship is more than what it seems.
Yeah, and during the scene when she's getting the cradle from Ultron, after Hawkeye has the cradle, Cap's saying, okay, now go give it to Tony, but all he keeps asking is, has anyone seen Nat? Where's Nat? Like, that's all he's asking. He's not caring really about that, so...
Yeah, he's making sure that his friend is safe, too. Also, like, when later on in the movie, when they're still in the farmhouse, Nat goes to Hawkeye's wife. Does she have a name? Do they say a name?
Hawkeye's wife.
Oh, birth name. So, yeah, so she goes to, like, the wife and then, like, goes to the baby because she's pregnant. And she's like, she says something like, you know, I can't wait for little Natasha to come out. And then she goes, oh, well, it's going to be... Nathaniel.
Traitor.
And then she goes traitor. Because obviously, like, you know,
they know each
Black
other
Widows had,
to,
has had such an impact on that family too that they were literally going to name
their child,
after
her.
And although that can't happen, they even named it like the kind of like male version of that name.
Yeah,
yeah, they could just make the last name Romanov.
You can't.
You can't change the last name for a kid.
Hey, you Romanov.
Anyway,
it would have been really, it would have been really cool to name the baby Scarlett if it was a girl, because it would be a reference to the actress playing Natty.
Well, and
it's true, but it wouldn't make sense.
Well, because there's
that's true. Actually, it would be a reference to Scarlet Witch. Yeah, well, I want to. So, if I'm hearing us right, I think we talked about Hawkeye way more than I expected us to.
Yeah.
But
sorry.
No.
Sorry about that.
I'm just surprised because Hawkeye is quite divisive in this room. But one of the things I want to cycle back to this Ultron and specifically Vision thing, because we learn if we're right in the we learn that the Avengers are broken, we learn that they are damaged. What do we know about Vision from the end of this movie? What have we learned about Vision when he arrives?
That he doesn't want to see people as good and bad, right? He like everyone, all the Avengers are saying like, okay, we gotta kill this thing. It's evil. It's gonna, it's obviously on the bad side. But then Vision comes in. He's like, no, Ultron's just unique. And that was a word that really struck me and stuck with me the first time that I saw this movie, was that he didn't say, like, he has troubles or whatever. He's just saying that, like, he's just unique. He's just, like, he's just his own being.
I feel like Vision, he's very accepting. Like, he's trying to find the greater good in, like, in out of every situation. Like, in within, like, a human or a robot. Because, like, he's almost like the, this may sound really weird, but, like, he's almost like the Jesus.
Why?
And because he's accepting, and he's saying, like, always find, like, it doesn't matter on the, like, the inside. I mean, on the outside. It matters what's on the inside. And then he also was saying, like, it's almost kind of like hate the sin. Like, don't hate the person. Like, or the
well, we talked about that last time. We talked about whether or not you can separate those those things.
Yeah, so, but I kind of feel like he's just, like, more, like, accepting or, like, more open-minded towards every situation, say, rather than, like, Iron Man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was going to compare him, don't hate me for this, I was going to compare him to Superman, not from the
remake.
I'm not
going to hate you for that.
But no, from
the original Superman?
The original Superman, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because he accepts everyone. He's, I think he thinks that he can't really save everyone. Well,
I don't know if it's that he can't save anyone. There's something he says at the end, and I want to come back. It's funny because I always hesitate to say somebody's a Jesus character because sometimes I think we jump to it. But there's something he says at the end. No, but I'm going to come back to that. No. There's something he says at the end that blows my mind, and it's he says that because he goes, I say he goes one-on-one with Ultron, but it's really not even a fight. Like, he's just standing there.
The last Ultron.
He says, Ultron's talking about how weak and pathetic the human race are, and he says, there is grace in their failings. I think you missed that. And he says, you know they're not going to last. And he says, a thing isn't beautiful because it lasts. There's something about Ultron that he sees the value in people despite the damage. Sorry, there's something not Ultron. There's something we see in Vision that he sees the value in people despite their flaws, whereas Ultron judges them for their flaws. And, you know, going to the, you say he's like a Jesus character. The other line that stands out to me is when they ask him, they say, are you with Jarvis or are you Ultron or something like that? He goes, I'm not Ultron.
I'm a child of Ultron.
Yeah, he says, I'm not Ultron. I'm not Jarvis. I am. Which is a fascinating language. There's actually
it's
a lot
a
of...
direct reference to the Bible with God saying, I am.
That's right. It's right out of Moses' burning bush.
Yeah.
I am who I am, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you read that one?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't, did you?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Here's the other thing to remember, too, though, is that the Avengers, as broken as they are, cannot defeat Ultron. They want peace in their time, but they do it through, ironically, I guess Vision kind of does too, but they do it through more violence. They cannot defeat him. They're not worthy to defeat this evil, which is bigger than them. And here you've got this... I don't know, because all he did was he would just download himself somewhere else.
Quick man.
He just always moved around. He was evil without a body. He was evil without a body. He was a virus. But Ultron sort of steps in. Vision sort of steps in, and he's that extra. He's a match for him. He's a match for him. I don't know. It's a really powerful image for me. Is that they?
He's the light.
Yeah, he is. He's light. He's light. And they need somebody who is not them, who is not like them. Of course, he grabs the hammer, and he's the only one who's worthy.
Yeah, because only because he has the Mind Stone in him, which is like. I would even go to say not just powerful, but like one of like the holiest stones from wherever Thor's Infinity Stones are from.
Is home in the location Asgard. We can't pronounce.
Right.
Asgard.
Yeah. No. Arsgard. Wait. Was it Arsgard or Asgard?
Asgard.
Asgard.
Asgard. Asgard.
There's another play.
How do you necessarily? Because like, I feel like when they're all trying to lift it, they're like, how come I can't lift it? Or like, I feel like some of them are thinking like, or like, how do you become worthy of like to be able to lift up Thor's?
That's a great question.
Because like none of them can, but really Captain America, he shifts it. He's a very like great character, and he's just a great human being. Like, and he's just worthy enough to move it ever so slightly. So, like, and he's, like, probably the most, like, accepting or, like, the most, like, all-around Avenger in a way that I'm trying to say it. But he can't move it. So, like, how come Vision becomes so worthy?
That's a good question.
I thought it was because Thor was the one who brought him to life.
He
uses electricity for mysterious power, and it boom.
It could be related to that, sure.
What I thought was really funny was that Vision was the only one out of all of them who could lift the hammer, but he was also the only one out of them who didn't know he shouldn't be able to lift the hammer.
He doesn't make a big deal about it.
During that scene when they're all at the party and they're trying to lift it, you can hear it in the people's voices. They're not, like, what's the word I'm looking
for? Worthy?
Worthy will work for now. They automatically believe that they just should be able to.
Oh.
Right? They're thinking, like, oh, this is some sort of trick. I know that I'll be able to lift it, right? Right, Tony's like, oh, it's just physics. I'm good at this, therefore I will be able to lift this, right?
Mm.
Whereas Vision's just like, we have to go help these people, so I'm guessing that you're going to need this. And he sort of just grabs it without knowing that.
Well, Black Widow never tried to grab it, so what if she can also?
That would be great.
Well, I think that's the importance. There's no way she could. I think that's the importance of the importance of someone like Vision, though, because Vision isn't broken in the same way they are. You may not always agree with Vision, but Vision is just made. He is just good.
Yeah.
And I think one of the best things about Vision is, like we said, we've talked in this entire phase, and when we've done it, we talked about this entire phase about how do they deal with their issues. All of these people, how do they deal with their damage? And in Vision, you've got somebody that says they're damaged, but they still matter. Mm-hmm. It's not about how do we fix them. It's about how do we accept them. And I think that's the beauty of Vision. Yeah. I think that's incredible.
And even when Vision realized that they would have to go and kill Ultron, he says Ultron can't Ultron thinks that he is going to destroy the world, thinks he's going to save the world by destroying it, and he can't see different. Therefore, unfortunately, he must be destroyed.
Yeah.
And the key word in there is unfortunately, right? He doesn't really want to have to destroy him. If he thought that Ultron would be able to see the, almost like see the light in what, in the dark that he's trying to plan, then he wouldn't want to destroy Ultron. Mm-hmm.
That's a good place, actually. I'm gonna wind us down just for the sake of time, because I think we keep going. But guys, this was great. This is a good conversation, and I think we see that the film may not be perfect, but it's
not bad.
But we accept it for what it is.
So that's what we got to do for Ant-Man.
No.
No.
How about we not do Ant-Man?
No, we got to. So we'll be back with
Ant-Man.
Like and share. We will be back with Chapter 12. We're going to do Ant-Man. And then we'll be back with Civil War. So
yay!
This is next week, Ant-Man. And as always, who wants to take us out?
Well, they don't know.
Bye!
No, false. To Infinity War. And maybe...